Let's go before the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get back into our study of Psalm 119, looking at verses 105 through 112. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your blessing us with your word. And through your word, we learn who you are, we learn who our Savior is, and we learn of the Holy Spirit. The blessed Holy Spirit that illumines your word, that helps us to know you and to see you in the scriptures. And so help us this morning as we take to your word, that we would be blessed by you and by your word through the revelation of your word and through the Spirit, that would then strengthen us and edify us, build us up nice and strong to stand as Christian witnesses in this dark world. And Father, we need your help. We need your help for boldness and for courage. But we also need your help for joy and contentment, true satisfaction in your word and in Christ. And sometimes our hearts will trick us into not seeing Christ as a treasure, when Christ truly is the greatest treasure. And so thank you for revealing him, and I ask, Father, that you would do that now as we go into your word, that you would help us, Lord, to be reminded that we spend time with you. We don't just read your word, but we commune with you. It is a privilege that at times we can take for granted because you are just so gracious that you welcome it all the days of our life. And throughout our day, we have the ability to spend time with you, the God of the universe, holy and blessed. And so help us, Lord, this morning not to take that for granted, but strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen us and give us eyes to see your goodness and just how wonderful your word is. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of Exodus, we see God calling Israel out of Egypt. And before he calls Israel out of Egypt, we see 10 plagues. 10 plagues. And that 9th plague, if you remember, if you would recall, is a plague that comes without warning. And all of a sudden, Egypt is in complete darkness. The Word of God there in Exodus chapter 10 tells us that this darkness was something that could be felt. And that leaves interpreters with all sorts of problems because Moses doesn't explain what he means by that, but we could at least say, it's a darkness like they had never experienced before. And in Exodus chapter 10, verses 22 through 23, listen to what God's word tells us. So Moses stretched out his hand, and this comes after God told him to do this. Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. And they did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all the sons of Israel had light in their dwellings. You know, sometimes it feels that way for us, for the church, where we have light around us and we look out at the world and it seems so dark. And it is dark. It is very dark. And I know right now during this voting season, with so many people trying to make their appeal and win votes, and you see the nastiness and people come out really, really easy. Now, David says this in Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And forgive me if I've said this before, but it's important for us to know that this was not a real valley. You can't find it on a map. Matter of fact, there are different times when a valley of death is mentioned. In the Old Testament, it was a way of saying deep, deep darkness. Well, how dark? Well, if you were trying to develop photos, you would go into a dark room, and that dark room would have turns and corners and ways to keep the light out. And it's darkness like that. And sometimes darkness seems to surround us and wrap around us. But the Lord's always with us. The Lord's always with us, just like David said. The Lord was with him. The Lord led him. He was without any kind of fear because the Lord was with him. Right? A staff and a rod. God's ability to guide us through the darkness and even protect us through the darkness. That's what that line emphasizes. And so, like David, we also have a blessing of having a guide. This word that we'll be in this morning, this passage in Psalm 119, verse 105, reveals to us what our guide is, namely the Word of God. And so what we learn with this morning's stanza is that the psalmist expresses his great need, but also his great commitment and joy that he has in the Word of God. So even though he lives in this dark world, he has mentioned it several times over through this psalm, he still has a commitment to God's Word. He still trusts in God's Word. And he still finds joy in God's Word. And that's a challenge for us. In our days of darkness and with what we have going on in our life and even larger than our life in our world, does the darkness that's surrounding us in our day, in our life, drive us to a greater commitment in God's Word? Does it drive us to feel like we need God all the more? And does it drive us towards joy, realizing that in this dark world that the Lord has not left us without a light? The Word of God is the disciples' necessary guide to walk by faith and rejoice along the way. The Word of God is the disciples' necessary guide to walk by faith and rejoice along the way. This morning's sermon is titled, The Joy of Walking in God's Light. And we'll see three different points here. The first one in verses 105 and 106, light for the way. And then in 107 through 110, reasons we need light along the way. And then last, we have in verses 111 through 112, joyfully committed to the way. Joyfully committed to the way. And if you have a bulletin, you'll have that outline there. I would ask you to raise your outlines, but I don't want to embarrass any adults that have the kids' outline with them. Just don't. I know that there is a pumpkin maze there. So if you look up and your eyes are like, you know, all out of it, I know that you're doing the maze and you're not listening. So that's going to be the tell, okay? Let's get into God's Word. Psalm 119, verse 105 through 112. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path. I have sworn and I will confirm it, that I will keep your righteous ordinances. I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. O accept the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from your precepts. I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, even to the end. Let's look at these first two verses, 105 through 106. Have you ever found it interesting in this verse, verse 105? I know it's very dear to so many of us. I mean, we sang a whole song about it. At any point during that song, when we were singing, Your word is a lamp unto my feet, did you ever question why God did not say, Your word is a lamp for my eyes? Who here has eyes on their feet? Why is the psalmist saying, Your word is a lamp unto my feet? Have you ever thought about that? Why? Surely we need God's word. It is a light and it does help us. It reveals things to us and enlightens us. It helps us to see. But he said, Your word is a lamp unto my feet, for my feet. And that's because the focus here is not just on our eyesight and what we can see, though that is there. The focus is not for our eyes to merely see, but that in seeing we would walk. In seeing we would walk. If we see something and we do nothing about it, well, now it's on us, right? Yesterday, people were alarmed. There was a rattlesnake in the parking lot. It's too cold for snakes out. And the rattlesnake said, I beg to differ. Now, if they said, there's a rattlesnake there, and said, it's too cold out there. It can't be a rattlesnake. And then just approach it, and the rattlesnake does what a rattlesnake does, they wouldn't be happy. The focus is not for our eyes merely to see, but that in seeing we would walk. The Word of God is a divine help, granting us the ability to walk confidently in dark places. It is a grace to us. It is a benefit for us. So that we would walk, and in walking, we would walk in a way that shows wisdom. Do we not need light along the way? Every step of the way? No, we do not move journey by journey or valley by valley or season by season. We walk by step after step after step after step. And when we look back at things, we might be able to see the valleys and the mountaintops of life, but those did not happen valley, mountain. They happened by us walking with the Lord step by step, small individual movements by faith over and over and over and over again. God has graciously given us His glorious word for each step that He's called us to take. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, Peter mentions something just like this. There, Peter writes, "So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts." So just as our psalmist says that your word is a lamp unto my feet, so Peter kind of hijacks that, brings that into 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, and says that we would do well. He's speaking to the church. You would do well, beloved, to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place in regards to the word of God. I can remember in training, in Marine Corps training, there was a time when you did night movements. And incredibly dark there in Pendleton, and they would light these flares, and they would shoot these flares up, and those flares would go up. They would turn nighttime into daytime. And all of a sudden, you were able to see wires, you were able to see all these, you know, traps, and all these things out presented danger. And you were thankful for that flare, and then that flare would only last so long. And you know, the Word of God allows us to see a whole lot, and even shines a light on heaven for us to see here from earth. But that's not what our verse is speaking about. Matter of fact, if the Lord did that for our walk and showed us the whole trail, at the beginning, we may not even want to go down that walk. So it's by God's grace that His Word is a lamp for our feet. You see, because a lamp helps us with our immediate space. Right? It helps us with our immediate space. It's not great as far as shining a long distance. There's a reason why they invented a flashlight. But a lamp it does well at lighting your immediate area. Lamps at the time were these small, almost like bowls, clay, and they held oil in them. You had to handle it with care. But it only produced so much light. And when you're walking in the dark, it's dangerous. Especially if you're going through a kid's room. Now, walking in the dark with a lamp is a blessing, but it's also a challenge. If you're walking in a dark area with a lamp, it is a blessing, but there's also a challenge or challenges that are associated with it. So think about this. As our psalmist says that your word is a lamp, he's not saying it only reveals so much. It does reveal a whole world of things to us. But the way that our psalmist is using it here is he's not focusing on the whole way to heaven, but each step we need to take to get there. What are some of the challenges with a lamp? Immediately you find out how dependent you are upon it. I don't know if you remember the backdrop of one of those songs. It was like walking through a forest and the trees, they're all dark and there's light at the end, right? That's the end of our road. That's not our road right now. Our road right now is a little bit of light just right in front of us so that we know how to make a good judgment step by step by step by step. This is actually this lamp is like a small, they would refer to a guiding lamp, a small guiding lamp, even a candle. And so it's going to reveal just enough to us to trust in this lamp to light step after step. But it's also going to make us rely heavily upon it. It's going to make us trust it. And it's going to make us want to have it with us wherever we are. Who keeps a flashlight by the bed? The people that don't keep a flashlight next to their bed, it's because there's a light switch or a lamp right there. We're so used to having light just whenever we want it. But every time we reach for that lamp, every time we reach for that light switch or that flashlight, that should be a reminder to us of our need for the Word of God. And so just lighting up just enough for us to step and step and step and keep us walking, keep us moving, and keep us having confidence. So our psalmist writes, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path. I have sworn, and I will confirm it." His confidence is in this lamp, in this Word of God, because it works. And you will never swear by it. And you will never tell anybody. You need to map your life out by the Word of God. You will never tell anybody that if you don't do it yourself. We won't even vouch for cooking we don't eat. Why would we tell somebody that their whole worldview is upside down? As soon as we do that, you know, we're either going to gain a friend or an enemy, nothing in between. Solomon writes this in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 18 through 19. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. But consider this. The path of the righteous is like light, like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Now, there are times when Zephaniah comes out and it's early in the morning. And he comes out and he wipes his eyes and he tells me, Dad, why are you working at night? And I tell him, it's not nighttime. Even though I'm so tempted to say, yeah, it's nighttime, go back to bed. I just tell him, you know, the sun has not come up yet. But once the sun peaks over the horizon, then it begins to get brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And so our walk should be, as we walk with our lamp, should grow brighter and brighter and brighter until we are standing in glory. And so that's how our lives should be. And when you're young in the faith, and new to the Word of God, and every turning of a page is a new adventure in God's Word, and you're just so fascinated with learning more and more and more. You may come to the point where you can't even believe that people would go a day without reading the Word of God. But sadly, over time, we are presented with a temptation. We're presented with a temptation, and that temptation is just this. We may go a day lampless. We may go 2 days lampless. We may go a week, a month, a season lampless, without a lamp, without spending time in the Word of God. And yeah, you know, we fell in plenty of pits along the way. We had to backtrack after a couple of wrong turns. And you know, we've got some bumps, some bruises, some scrapes, and some scars. Maybe even we've shed some tears, we've upset some people, we've lost some friends, we've lost some family. But we made it through. At what cost? At what cost? To live a life without your lamp is living without the Lord. Because we know the Lord is who our psalmist is speaking about. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. Listen to what Solomon writes here. Yet, for the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. So should we not commit ourselves like the psalmist does when he says, I swear by it. I will conform to it. That means I'll make it stand. My words, I'll make them stand on this statement. That your word is a lamp unto my feet. And so this gives us just a brief nature of what the Word of God is and what a blessing that it is to us. And I want us to really focus on the blessing that we have in the Word of God. And so let's look at the next point, the reasons we need lamp along the way in verses 107 through 110. Reasons we need light along the way. I'm going to highlight just 3 points in this section of why it's a blessing to have the Word of God. So as a child of God, you're set on a road, and then you have God's Word to light your path as you're going down this road. And you're going to face various things. Look at verse 107 as the psalmist writes, I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Now, There may be a verse there in 2 Corinthians that in my original unedited edition email to Mr. Paul, I had that as a point. You can look at that later on, but what I would like to do is turn our attention to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And it's for this reason. As our psalmist says, he's exceedingly afflicted. If we have been paying attention through the 106 verses prior to this, we know that he is exceedingly afflicted. We know that. But what do you do in response? Us, the reader, as we read that he is afflicted and he is afflicted, and every time he speaks about his affliction, he never complains about it, but he always turns to the sufficiency of God and God's word, comforting him through that affliction, no matter what the affliction is. What do we do with that? This is a little bit of application. What do we do when we read that? Well, at the bare minimum, what we should be saying is that God is there with us in all sorts of affliction, that He is our comfort, and He is sufficient to help us and to provide anything that we need in those times of affliction, whether they are trials, whether they are temptations, whether they are persecution. God is there for us, and His word is sufficient to help us along the way. If we don't grab that after hearing it over and over and over again, I just want us to grab that now and to just be good stewards of that thought. And where do we see this? I mean, outside of this psalm. Because as I sit back, we read this, and this isn't something that's like rocket science. Like, what do you mean? What is affliction? What does it mean to be exceedingly afflicted? Like, we understand that. We understand that. And the longer that we are walking with the Lord, the more we know that life will present these things to us, but the Lord will be with us. And immediately it took my mind to the Gospels. So if you are there in Matthew chapter 4, there is an amazing summary of Jesus' ministry. And the great thing about this statement in verses 23 through 25 is it comes early in Jesus' ministry. This comes early in Jesus' ministry. Look at how Matthew summarizes ministry so far. Jesus was going through all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. That's enough there to see just how amazing our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is. But Matthew does not stop there. Look at verse 24. The news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains and demoniacs and epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Large crowds followed him from Galilee to the Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. And I'm wondering if Matthew's pen was running out of ink, because he might have just kept going. Remember what John was speaking about in John's gospel towards the end, when he says, you can't even contain it in books, just everything that Jesus did. And so just like we read this in the gospels, so we see in the psalm that the Savior is taking care of the psalmist. But we have a great benefit that our psalmist doesn't have, and that's the New Testament. And so the psalmist is looking to Yahweh and looking to the Lord and saying that He is his help. And we look to Jesus because the Scriptures have revealed Jesus to us. And so the first thing the first reason that we need light along the way is because it teaches us to rely on God in affliction. It teaches us to rely on God while we are being afflicted. And that's what the psalmist has done over and over again. And then when we get into the Gospels, and beloved, spend time in the Gospels. Just spend time in the Gospels. Learn more and read more and more about your Savior. Know his ways. Know how he walked, how he spoke to people, and how much he cared for people. And immediately when you go into the Psalms, you'll see him there, caring for his people. So the first reason is that it teaches us, right? The Word of God teaches us to rely on God in affliction. The second reason that we need light along the way is because it produces voluntary worship. The Word of God produces in us a heart that is willing to worship, that does not just come to church because they are supposed to, or go and do this, or go and do that because they're expected to. The Word of God places a love and a sincere faith in our heart that drives us to willing worship, voluntary worship. Verse 108, "Oh, accept the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances." Teach me your ordinances. Free will offerings in the Old Testament were sacrifices that were not required because of sin. These were sacrifices. These were acts of praise and worship that you gave simply because you found God to be worthy of your praise, and you had to show it. You felt compelled to show your love for God, and so you offered a free will sacrifice. It's interesting, the writer of the book of Hebrews informs the church to do something similar to that. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, "Through Him," speaking about Jesus, "through Him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name." So through Jesus Christ, we can now offer up free will sacrifices through praise and giving thanks to God. We don't have to come to church for that. We don't have to light a candle for that. We don't have to go to a temple for that. We don't have to do anything other than wherever we are, as the Lord is provoking our heart to worship Him, we just offer thanks right then and there. And that's pleasing to the Lord. That's pleasing to the Lord. That's soothing to the Lord. In a world that's full of sin, to have saints here and there scattered all around the globe just thanking Him for His grace, thanking Him for His mercy and for His love and for His salvation, something that is never taken from us. So we can offer thanks for it all throughout our day. The question that I would like to ask us is this: is our praise dependent on what God's doing in our life and dependent on what we want, or is our worship and praise of God simply because we find Him worthy? The third reason that we need light along the way is that it helps us endure through various threats. It helps us endure through various threats. Look at verse 109. "My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law." Let's look at this phrase. My life is continually in my hand. It comes up in Job and in some other places. We find even a witch say it, speaking about the vulnerability that they have in their actions. And here the psalmist is recognizing his vulnerability simply by living a life that's committed to the way. In verse 30, early on, last year when we first began this psalm, he says, "I have chosen the faithful way." And he has chosen the faithful way. And we've chosen the faithful way. And we know the Lord Jesus told us that on this way there would be hardship and that people will be persecuting us. If they persecuted him, they would persecute us, right? We know that. And so there is a vulnerability that we have just by walking by faith in a world that hates the Lord and a world that hates Christians. And so the psalmist recognizes that, but he tells us, even though his life is in his hand, he says this, I do not forget your law. Now, it's an interesting thing that happens to us once pressure is on. Whatever we love the most and whatever we have there at the surface of our heart, we're going to be inclined to go in that direction. And if the Word of God is there filled in our heart, then when danger comes, we're going to go right to the Word of God. And so we know that the Word of God, it helps us to endure this life that we have with the various threats that are there. And sometimes it's simply because we are Christian, and other times it's because we have enemies that set traps for us. In verse 110, it says, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from your precepts. So he understands the danger that he's in just for being who he is. And then he also is aware of the danger that's set before him because people are trapping him. And he doesn't forget the law of God, and he doesn't go astray from God's word. And the greatest example that we have in the scriptures of something like this is through the Lord Jesus and the temptation that he endured. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, the Lord Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And we see Satan set up snare after snare, trap after trap before Jesus. And how does Jesus handle it? Always with the Word of God. Always with the Word of God. But I am absolutely certain that the vast majority of us here knew that I was about to say that. We are so familiar that Jesus was tempted, and we are equally familiar that in the temptation that Jesus used Scripture to combat that temptation. But the question for us is, if we know that, what keeps us from doing that when we fail to do it? We need the Word of God, beloved. We need it as a lamp unto our feet and a light for our path every day, every morning, and throughout the day, so that we would act like our Lord. Three times over, he told the serpent there, it is written. It is written. It is written. And in verse 4, he says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Beloved, it is important for us to know that God expects us to live by and through His Word. He expects us to live by it. He brings us into His beloved light, or into His marvelous light, so that we would live according to it. He doesn't keep His Word from us. He requires us to be under its teaching week in, week out, day out, because he knows what's best for us. He knows what we need. And so we see that the Word of God is actually invaluable and indispensable. How great is the Word of God to you? It is great to our psalmist, and that's why he rejoices in this last point in verses 111 and 112, joyfully committed to the way. Listen to what he says in verse 111 and 12. He says, I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, even to the end. They're an inheritance. They're an inheritance. I can remember one day when Zephaniah came and he was looking at this book that I had with no pictures in it. He wasn't too impressed. And I told him, hey, my whole library is yours. Just profess Christ. He was like, okay, no big deal. But when I told him that all of my baseball cards and football cards were his when he grows up, now he's happy about something, you know. Give me something, give me an inheritance that I can really brag about that. You know? But beloved, our psalmist sees this word of God as a sweet inheritance. He sees it as a sweet inheritance. It brings joy to the heart, yeah? Right? It brings joy to our heart. That's what he says. It rejoices the heart. It makes the heart happy. It makes the heart glad. Are you glad that you have the Word of God? Where do you keep your Bible? I thought, this is a great question to ask, and I didn't know if I would get many answers. Do you go home and like put it in a chest and lock it away? On a shelf? Is it close? We keep things that we love really close to us, right? We do. He has a joy for this. You know, Proverbs 13:22 tells us that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, and that's true. But if that good man only leaves a financial inheritance for his son and his son's son and every son after that, and does not leave a lamp to guide those steps of that son, what he might have done is contributed to that son's rebellion and waywardness and just flung open a door for all kinds of sin. But if you leave the Word of God as an inheritance to your child, you are leaving something of infinite value. Of infinite value. The Word of God rejoices our heart because it's from the Lord. It's guidance. It's help in times of need. It's a light when it's dark. It's comfort when things hurt. It's encouragement when you're lacking courage. And you know what? Sometimes it's just a cherry on top. Sometimes everything is just going good and you go to the Word and it's even better. And praise God for that. That there could never be a time that we would go to the Word of God and it would be lacking in any way. Missing in any way. It always hits the mark. It never misses. It's always our fault and something that's going on with us whenever we're in the Word and it just doesn't do it for us. It always hits the mark. Beloved, it's the Word of God. If God spoke to us right now from heaven, after we woke up from, you know, fainting, we would be so impressed. But like Paul was mentioning earlier, we have it. Do we act like we got it? Do we act like we have the Word of God? Does it bring joy to us? There was a time when the disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus and they were speaking to Jesus and they didn't even know that they were speaking to Jesus. Do we recall that? They were speaking to Jesus. They didn't even know that they were speaking to Jesus. And then they would sit down to break bread with Jesus and he breaks bread and then he disappears, right? And they're like, oh, we're not our hearts burning within us this whole time. You know, there are these indicators that the Lord was there, but they just didn't connect the dots. And shame on them, right? Or shame on us. Beloved, if we have been marching through, step by step, through this long psalm, and we have not seen the Lord, He's here all throughout this psalm, declaring the goodness and the greatness and the sufficiency of Christ all through this psalm. So are not our own hearts burning within us when we see the Lord Jesus concealed in these words? How does John open up his gospel? He says, the Word of God, right? That Jesus is the Word. But then Jesus is also not only the Word of God, Jesus is also the light to men. He is the Word and the light. Our psalmist says, your Word is a lamp unto my feet. And we say, thank you. Yes, that is the Lord Jesus. That is the Lord Jesus. Because John writes this in John 8:12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's salvation. That's salvation. And so we learn about this word that the psalmist relies on, and he wants to be revived by the word and delivered by the word and saved by the word and encouraged by the word. And we say, yes, the Lord Jesus does it all. He does it all. The Lord Jesus does all of this. And in the Old Testament, the saints there were called to faithfully walk according to the Word of God, to not turn away from it, but to keep it diligently. And then Jesus comes, and the New Testament, God sends His Son, and sends the Word, and sends the light, and He says, follow Me. Follow Me. He doesn't say, follow Moses. No, He says, Moses wrote of Me. Follow Me. And beloved, I would call for our following of the Lord as well. If you have not followed the Lord, perhaps that is why you question, why would this psalmist say that the Word of God is sweet? And why would he say that he loves the Word of God? Why would he say that it rejoices his heart? Maybe because the light of Christ has not lit your heart. But if Christ has, by His grace, saved you from your sin and given you a confidence and a trust and a faith in Him, then listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 about the church. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. That is what He has done for every one of us that has placed their trust, their confidence in the Lord Jesus. The Word of God is the disciples' necessary guide to walk by faith and rejoice along the way. So let's look at just how we can pull this together and bring some application out. First of all, if we're not aware of what the lamp is yet, then we need to know that it's the Lord Jesus. He is who reveals things to us and leads the way in our life. But if we think that when we are not reading the Word of God, we are just neglecting a lamp, we need to realize that we're actually neglecting the Lord. We're not neglecting reading. We're neglecting communion with God. So something for us to think about for our head. Does your awareness of this dark world match or exceed your devotion and dependence to God's Word? Does your awareness of this dark world match or exceed your devotion and dependence upon God's Word? And a note for our heart. Are you thankful that God has not left you in the dark? How do you demonstrate your thankfulness? How do you demonstrate thankfulness for a lamp that the Lord has given you? And does that lamp bring joy to your heart? And something for us here, hands, something for us here in the church. If you serve here, are you serving here with a joyful heart in His Word? If you serve here, are you serving here with a joyful heart in His Word? And if you are not serving here, and your daily opening up of God's Word and the leading with this lamp, is God's Word leading you to more time here in your church through forms of service? Something for home. What are some ways to cultivate homes that rejoice in the Word of God? What are some ways that you can cultivate, you can create, you can make your home a home that rejoices in the Word? And a note regarding heaven. And beloved, there will be a time when walking with our lamp is not needed. Not that we won't need the Word of God. We will always have the Word of God. But there will be times when our steps with our lamp lead to steps into glory. And in Revelation chapter 21, verse 23, John writes this, "And the city has no need of sun or of moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb." Father in heaven, I thank you for giving us time in your word. Your word is definitely a lamp unto our feet, a light for our path. Oh, Father, we have too much of it, and it is so good to us that at times we don't value your word as we ought to. And so, Father, I just ask that you would humble us and help us to truly cherish your word and to just thank you, Lord, with pure hearts, that you've given us your precious word, and that you've also given us your beloved Son. Thank you for the Lamb that we have as a sacrifice for our sin, so that we can see him in glory in heaven. And let that thought provoke us now to devotion and his word. In Jesus' name, amen.